much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Well, at first it was a real brain twister, but then I remembered a quote from a renowned poet from my earth, Alfred Yankovic.
Are you talking about Weird Al?
Why, because of the hair? Get to the point already, if you have one.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah!
Ah! Oh, yeah.
Yeehaw.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
And a chew.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yes.
Oh. This is good.
Smell it.
Yeah!
Whoa!
Yeah.
Go for it!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah!
Oh, God.
Excellent!
Yeah!
So good. Join the butthole revolution.
And now.
Okay, you two. Make love to my ears. Bareback, baby. No Jimmy. Raw dog.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, party people. Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time, it's for a Wednesday, the 6th of November. Kids.
Hi.
Bean. Woo. Let's take some roll call here.
Okay.
Allie McKay.
Yeah, here, present.
Jensen Carp.
Oh, that's me. I'm here.
Muggsy.
That would be me.
K-Rux Kevin. Oh.
Oh, no.
We're down a guy.
Well, tomorrow is his last day. So.
As you know.
Oh, is he just busy with the move and everything?
He's very busy.
Short-term Kevin, man.
Yeah. She's got that senioritis, man.
Yep.
Can't wait to get out of here. Why even wait till the last day? What are they going to do, fire him?
Right.
Apparently, we are limping across the finish line here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's some sort of black plague that is going through the Kevin and Bean show right now.
Not a black plague. Well, we got beaned.
Yeah.
How are you blaming this on me?
Because you came down here so sick.
Yeah. For Breakfast with Green Day?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And then within 4 days, I fell out. I was done.
You were done,
I took Friday off. I was in bed from Thursday afternoon through until Monday when I came to work.
Mm-hmm.
Muggs, you've been battling it.
Oh, yeah. I've been hawking loogies all weekend.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Didn't need that.
Christine has been out for 2 days.
True.
And Kevin yesterday was like, I'm not feeling great.
Yeah.
Jensen, how are you?
I have diarrhea. But that's
okay. All right.
But the other thing, too, is like you didn't have to come here and just put your mucus on everything. That was the weird thing you did.
Again, Allie's going to yell at me. I don't believe I was contagious when I got there because I
says a guy who doesn't go to the doctor.
Right.
Says a guy who doesn't even get medicine. He doesn't know any. It's a Christian scientist.
I was on antibiotics for like 6 days before I came to LA.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really paid off.
Well, I'm just saying why. So how are you looking at me?
Because you wound up having pneumonia. So were you just fine from pneumonia while you were down here?
No, I felt terrible.
Okay. Oh,
but I was past the 3 days or whatever that you're contagious
saying. Because you were contagious the whole time.
You don't know, man.
Taking antibiotics for something that hadn't even occurred yet.
I know that you are, in fact, a medical doctor,
Thank
but you don't
you.
Know.
Yes.
You don't know, man. Look, is it possible? Yes. Is it likely? No.
It's both.
Look, lots of people are getting sick all over Southern California. There's a bad flu happening right now.
And thanks to you. You're the one who brought it here.
I'm not patient zero, you guys. Come on.
It's science.
Hey, I want to start with an inspirational story here. You know, I like a lot of people, I beat myself up by what I don't accomplish. You know, I look at other people that are better than me and I go, how are they able to do all the things that they're able to do and I'm able to do so little?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a bell?
That was an accidental bell.
Okay.
I got excited.
Thank you, Mike.
Oh, dear.
Put your penis away. This is a woman whose name is Hannah Gavios. She, in 2016, took a vacation to Thailand. She's an English teacher in Vietnam. On her way back to the hotel one night, she thought she had gotten lost, asked for directions, but the person who helped her ended up leading her into a dark, wooded area and attacked her.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Yep.
While running away, she fell off a cliff and fell 150 feet and lay paralyzed at the bottom of the cliff for hours until she was ultimately rescued in the morning. The fall left her with a spinal cord injury that affected the muscles in her lower body, but she hasn't stopped living her life to the fullest. This past week, she ran and completed her second New York City Marathon, crossing the finish line on crutches.
Wow.
In just over 11 hours and 18 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot. She's doing a lot.
She's partially paralyzed from the waist down.
Right.
She runs the marathon on crutches. Mm-hmm. She does. This is what she does.
Did she get it done in like 60 hours?
11 hours.
Yeah.
11 hours, which, by the way, I'm a healthy, able-bodied American. Mm-hmm. I could not run the New York City Marathon in 11 hours. I might not be able to run it in 11 days. Mm-hmm. And she did this, and by the way, took advantage of doing it to raise, over the past two marathons that she's run, by the way, she's done it twice now, she's raised something like $40,000 for the Christopher Reeve Foundation as well.
Mm-hmm. Impressive woman.
How does somebody have that kind of strength? How is somebody so much better and so much stronger than I am? Because I'm telling you, if I'm partially paralyzed and have to walk on crutches, I'm getting a wheelchair and having somebody push me everywhere.
Do you not think that I know we made a joke that you were going to try to run a marathon and then completely mm-hmm. ditched it, which
right.
was very cool.
Like 3 weeks in, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you could never focus on doing it? You think it's completely impossible for you?
I just...
Because you're such a focused dude. Like, you got into radio, and then you conquered radio. And everything you do, other than the things you just ignore, like ukulele and such. But, like, you, when you put your mind to research and those things, you read a book a day, basically. Like, you could do it if you wanted.
But those are things I love. I don't know that I could do something that I hate that well. You know what I mean? I mean, I feel like you, Jensen, could do it because you've run.
I love
it. You're a guy who's run miles at a time. Allie, could you run a marathon if you had to?
Why would I?
Right, you have a car.
I would never have to.
You have a car.
And gross. Those people are sweating and they're pooing themselves.
Yes.
No one wants that.
Yeah, and then your nipples get all rashy.
I don't have nipples anymore.
Right, she had them removed.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. They were too, like, meow.
Did you have a boyfriend with a mannequin fetish, too? Wasn't that part of it?
Yeah, so everything is
Everything has been removed.
So she has raised thousands of dollars, as I mentioned, for the Christopher Reeve Foundation and funding research into epidural stimulation, a treatment that has shown promise in helping people with paralysis recover motor function. So she is unbelievable, and I wanted to give her a little shout-out. Hannah Gavios is her name, and she's somebody I look at and go, she should be inspirational to me, but instead, I kind of hate her.
Oh, my God.
She's a sociopath.
Thank you very much.
A bitch.
Wow.
That guy's right too. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
It's a fad. It won't last.
Well, you may be right about that. we have Cheers with Beer Mug on the program today.
Yeah.
I'm so delighted we have one more before I leave the show. It's my very, very favorite. What was the topic that you asked the patrons of your favorite watering hole mugs?
Well, it has to do a lot with you, Bean. That was...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So we'll find out.
More of your Afro calls?
I do believe they land on the moon.
Was he there? Was Jim there?
We'll have to find out.
Okay.
Ooh, tease.
More of your Afro calls, 323-520-AFRO on the program today. We got Bean Makes Us Guess, a final edition of that on the program today. How many times and for what reason did you fail your driving test? Mm-hmm. Came up this week. I confess that I failed mine the first time. Couldn't parallel park. Now I'm the greatest parallel parker in the world.
Okay, well, we also learned someone on the staff failed three times.
Three times, yes. Let me see. What else do we have? I think that's all I can tell you about. We do have a couple of other surprises standing by, and I've been getting a lot of phenomenal emails from people, too, including one of the most embarrassing emails she has ever sent and I have ever read.
Oh.
And I'll be reading that for you in just a few minutes as well. Plus, Allie's got her first look at what's... Just a reminder that night one of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas, December 7th at the Honda Center, is currently on sale. Night two pre-sale for K-Rock Street Team members is tomorrow at 10 a.m. On sale to the public Friday at 10. You can get all the details, lineups, and everything else at krock.com. Allie, you okay?
I press cough, and I even coughed down towards the floor with my back to the mic.
Are we willing to just admit now that she has a disgustingly loud cough? Are we just going to just come out and say it? Like, because we've been beating around the bush.
I don't know what else to do. I'm doing everything correct so you don't hear it.
Mm. Don't cough.
Okay. It's a good... Good point.
Good point. All right.
All right.
Happy we got to the end there.
Yeah.
Don't die either, by the way, because I'm worried that you've got consumption or something. It seems like it's been hanging on for a long time.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, for whatever final what's happenings, apparently, here's Allie.
Do you guys remember a couple days ago I talked to you about the big auction of Olivia Newton-John clothing?
Yes, the grease pants and top, right?
Yes, yep. The black leather that she wore at the end of the movie where she was kind of like Bad Sandy. And by Bad Sandy, it was just a black outfit. And people were like, whoa, she's real crazy.
I want to smell it.
Well, you had mentioned that. You had also mentioned, what are they going to do with the pants? What, like, who is this person? Mm-hmm. We now know. It is Spanx founder Sarah Blakely. She said, you're the one that I want to the pants.
No.
It's in the article. I'm quoting. I know. I didn't have to read it. I know. But she bought those black pants. Hmm. She dropped $162,000. She said, I've been the biggest fan of Olivia since I was a little girl. And then she said, and this kind of makes me laugh, she said, I was here in New York for my anniversary with my husband. We were out to dinner and I had a friend bidding for me. And she was on speakerphone while we were at dinner. And I said, honey, I won the pants. And he was like, let's be clear, you didn't win, you paid the most.
Right. I know a lot about her.
Yeah?
I do. She's one of the richest women in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Which we know. Mm-hmm. Her husband, Jesse Itzkoff.
Okay.
Was a white rapper.
Okay.
In the 80s named Jesse James. He had two kind of hits. He had College Girls Are Easy, which was one of them, and Shake It Like a White Girl, which was kind of a jam.
Neither of those titles have aged well.
No, neither have the songs if you listen to them. And he was like a white dude with big red Sideshow Bob hair, and he went on to own Marquee Jets. He took the money. He wrote Go Knicks, Go Knicks, Go. You know that song?
Yes.
He wrote that, and then he licensed it out to other teams and then bought private jets with that money and created a private jet rental company and became a multimillionaire and then married the richest woman in the world.
How bummed are you right now?
I know. It's like my alternative life. Although marrying, as I did, is a good... I'm kind of lower Jesse James. Uh-huh. That was his rap name. But still, something to look up to.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, she is... an amazing businesswoman.
She is.
What she has done. Granted, you know, Spanx, could you make the cut in the hoo-ha area bigger so it's easier to pee out of it?
Okay.
That'd be great. But here's the thing. What is she going to do with Olivia Newton-John's iconic black leather pants? Well, she's going to frame them and hang them at the Spanx offices. She said, we have black faux leather leggings that have become a cult following, and they were inspired off of Olivia Newton-John's pants from Grease. So it's kind of like a full circle moment for her.
Hmm.
Congratulations, Sarah Blakely, on your pants. And Bean would like to know if he could come sniff them.
That's not accurate. I said I wanted to make soup out of them.
Okay, my bad.
Very
I made
different.
It. I made it better.
Good really Lord. Listen to women.
Oh,
okay.
Wow. Okay,
that's a weird thing to just mention.
Out
right
of nowhere.
There. Yeah, Warner Brothers is negotiating with Colin Farrell to play the Penguin.
I don't see that.
Okay,
do you guys?
I do. I'm
He's
into
a good
it.
Actor.
Very
but...
good actor, mm-hmm. and he loses himself in the role.
Yeah, he does.
I think this is the kind of guy I'd like to do. I'd like to see do it.
All right.
I would like to see that. If the deal closes, Farrell will round out the trio of classic villains who are going to go up against Robert Pattinson as Caped Crusader. Paul Dano is going to be the Riddler. We've got Zoe Kravitz set for Catwoman. Jeffrey Wright has signed on as Commissioner Gordon. And it was also reported yesterday that Andy Serkis is currently in talks to portray Bruce Wayne's beloved butler, Alfred. So, I mean, that's shaping up to be
great cast.
Quite the cast for that movie.
Yeah. Once they lost Jonah Hill, I was nervous as to who they would pick, but I think this is great.
I never cared that Jonah Hill was even up for anything.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that upsetting to Jonah Hill stands?
I don't go on like Kevin and Bean. I'm like, yo, this is my favorite show. Like,
okay. Well, I understand.
No, I mean, I like Jonah a lot. Jonah's a great actor.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
He's great. Moneyball. And I mean, he's so funny and stuff like Superbad. And I think he's great.
Okay.
Yeah. Bean, you want to break the tie?
He's good in some roles.
Well, that's not a ringing endorsement.
I'm splitting the difference here between you two. I think
Bean is leaning Team Alley on this
I think
one.
He has been
Wolf
very good
Wall
in
Street?
Some roles.
Wolf on Wall Street?
I thought he way overacted in that. But he was great in Moneyball, and I believe he got nominated for Academy Award for that, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. What was the movie with, Miles Teller, where they sold guns?
Oh, I did see that. I don't remember what it was called.
Too.
Yeah, that was good, but I don't know if he was the greatest in that one. All right, maybe I'm Team Allie.
Wow,
no,
that turned right around,
you
guys.
I do like Daniel. He's very good.
All right. You know who I love? Danny Trejo. And he is in Variety's recent recovery issue, and he discusses being sober for more than 50 years.
This is machete.
He went from a 24-year-old heroin addict to a sober, prolific actor, and he continues all of his successes with giving back. He said, everything good that has happened to me has happened as a direct result of helping someone else. That man is just magic.
A treasure. Cartel in the Russian mafia.
He's a treasure.
He's an absolute treasure. A gem, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Some birthdays for you. We've got Tandy Newton, Maria Shriver, Taryn Manning, Emma Stone, Ethan Hawke, and Sally Field. And that's... Oh.
No.
That's Rockwell.
Rockwell, sorry.
Yeah, not sure.
No.
I misunderstood.
She's a good artist, though.
Sally Field?
Yeah.
You misunderstood for Rockwell?
Her cookies are good, too.
Oh, yeah.
Again, that is Mrs. Field.
Oh.
She's
not
great
her.
On Facts of Life.
That is...
Kim Fields? No, that's
Kim Fields.
Different person?
Tootie, yeah. That's a different woman.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, are we done?
You guys
I think so.
Got any more Fields?
If you when they said if you build it, they will come. That was
that's Field of Dreams. Oh. That one didn't even work, Muggs.
It's the world famous K Rock. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's about 6:20. In a little bit, with Bean's last day coming, we're going to be taking some of your Afro calls. Some of you are adorable and earnest. Others want to tell him to go to hell. We'll learn which one you are. Also, in this hour, we'll be giving away tickets to see Trevor Noah do stand-up. You know him from The Daily Show and his incredible book. And he was on the show a couple days ago. We're going to get you front and center for his upcoming concert. Stay tuned.
Dear Bean, this email begins. Longtime listener, second-time emailer. I've been meaning to send this little tidbit for a while now, but in true procrastination form, I'm waiting until the week you leave. Let me take you back to the year 1997, when I got my first email address at the age of 14. I had not a single person to email, but I desperately wanted to have something, anything in my inbox. After listening to the radio and hearing your invitation for emails, I decided to email you. Again, I was 14. I did not have a lot going on, so I composed the email. Dear Bean, I love you. You are the best. Being satisfied with the email, I hit the send button. I never actually heard back from you, but one day, months later, I discovered the deleted email file, and I clicked it to open and discovered that at some point my mom must have been snooping around on my email, and she assumed you were a child-loving pervert, and she wrote an email to you that said, Dear Bean, I don't know who you are, but my daughter does not love you, and she is a freshman in high school. Do not contact her. It all came
Bean, touch my peen.
By the way, I don't know how I didn't do anything. I don't know how I get in the middle of this whole Hansen thing.
She's right, but
I am almost certain you did write back explaining that you understood her concerns and not to worry, but the mortification had overtaken me and I could not even listen to the radio for weeks.
Oh, no.
So this is the second email I've ever sent you, and it's just about as embarrassing as the first.
I want to cuddle you.
Nope, not doing any of that. Best wishes to you and your new endeavors. Marissa. How delightful is that email, by the way?
It's adorable.
It's great. I
love it.
I love it. So thank you, Marissa, and thanks to everybody who has been writing in. There has been a lot of talk, and people have questions with me leaving the show tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
People are wondering, for starters, is there going to be a new name for the show?
Right.
And I don't think we've mentioned anything about this, but there will be a new name for the show because there's no Bean in Kevin and Bean.
Correct.
I don't think it's officially been announced yet, but yes. And the show will continue, and the show will continue to be great. And as I said on Twitter yesterday, I've never felt better about leaving the show in great hands than with Ali and Jensen along with Kevin. And, whether anyone else gets added down the road, we don't know. But I will tell you, there's a lot of talk, and there's quite a campaign about the perfect person for the job to replace me.
And it's been this way since day one. I mean, it feels like the same person gets brought up over and over again, and we have to at least address it, right?
I think the audience would be disappointed if we didn't address it.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have that person who is, I think, best suited to replace me on the Kevin and Bean Show on the phone right now. Allie, I can tell you're excited.
Nope.
Watch your enthusiasm here.
All right.
The Armenian comedian?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm 67, you're 68. Now I'm going to be 69. Nice. So nice. I feel great, man. I just do my exercises, and I do my barbering and hairstyling job, and then I play backgammon every day. I sharpen my mind, and I'm trying to get also. My band is going great. It's the second CD release.
Right.
I mean, you say you sound too busy.
I'm nervous. He doesn't have the time.
Too busy. All right. Bye.
You do have a very active, full life. Sam, I don't know if you heard what we were talking about before we brought you on, but how would you feel about being a more permanent part of the Kevin and Bean Show?
You know what? This is America, and this was my dream come true. And I pushed all the buttons in my life to get my ability and knowledge and to spread to the people to the as much as I can. That's what I'm about, you know?
Okay.
But pick me up.
So it sounds like you are well prepared then to take over a co-hosting position on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm not knowledgeable as Kevin and Bean.
That's
you, you know, but I can do as much as possible be done. I will take my studies, give me my studies, and I'll take home, and then I'll produce. That's what I am.
That's what he's a producer, yeah.
This is a fantastic attitude that Sam has, by the way. I mean, Sam is willing to put, he's willing to put in the work to be
honest,
great.
He might be the best coworker we have.
He's willing to put in the work. Yeah. Now, Sam, you've been coming on our show for most of the 30 years that we've been doing it, so you've had the opportunity to listen to the program a number of times. Mm. What do you think you would bring to the show that we don't have currently?
More people's talent.
More people's talent?
On the radio, on the BT podcast, you know, that I'm involved right now. Right. Thanks for Omar and Dave.
So he has experience, right? Mm-hmm.
And then I saw one of my fans put a logo, Kevin and Sam, and I thought you were leaving the show. It was true or joking? I don't know yet.
No, it's true. No, it's true. Yeah. Tomorrow is my last day, Sam, and that's why we wanted to talk to you and see if you would consider replacing me in 2020.
No,
we're getting job interviews, Sam, the Armenian comedian. We're getting the sharpest, sort of most formal version of it.
Yes,
Hold on.
Yes, go ahead.
I have the vibes that I can feel the female sides of the show. They are really attitude. No. I hear their hums and ho. No. You know, that's what I don't like about the females putting down the men. You know?
It's a good start.
This is going to work out well.
That whole thing about coworker, I might have to take that.
I don't agree with that decision.
This is a good start.
Those women.
Allie, what about the female that he could hear going, no, what about that?
Very perceptive, Sam.
Now, Sam,
we men are from Mars, and women are from Venus, and women are negative, and men are positive.
Okay.
So when the car, the battery has minus and plus, and we got to go and do the show. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Okay. I think we could all agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I followed that 100%.
But, Sam, you know you have to get along with everybody, male and female, when you work on the show, right?
You can't just pick. Yeah. You got to be good with all your coworkers.
You got to work with the whole team, Sam.
Yes, I will bow my head down. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Sam, one of the things, we're almost out of time here. One of the things that I'm excited about, if you end up joining the show, and I think we all agree that that's likely at this point, is jokes. Because we don't really tell jokes on this show. And that's kind of what you're known for. I mean, you are the Armenian comedian for God's sakes. And I think would you mind giving us a joke? Do you have one today that you can we can take us out with?
Yeah, one that you would bring to the show, Sam.
Well, I got a bunch of jokes that I've been putting up in my mind and tell people they laugh so hard. This is my joke.
Okay.
The Hurricane Dorian messed her up with Mother Nature. She came bursting from Bermuda.
Okay.
I just 2020 is going to be the greatest year ever in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show. Sam, you're hired. We'll see you 1st of January, all right?
Thank you very much. I love you guys. One more.
Okay. One more, sure.
What the hot dog said to the hamburger and french fries, don't even come close to my taste and table, okay? I've been telling you all these years, we don't match, okay?
Okay.
Wow. And the burger and french fries said to the hot dog, okay, go home, you doggy smelly doody.
Okay, yes. I think on that.
I feel like we need to hold some of this for January 1st, so maybe write these down.
Yeah, you don't want to blow all the good stuff before the show starts. All right, Sam, we'll see you soon, buddy. Thanks for jumping on.
Hey, everybody in the crew going to get a free haircut by me.
Thank you.
Bean, the musical fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel. So let's have beans with every meal. We'll miss you, Bean. R.I.P.
I'm not dying. I'm fine. Thank you, though. And thank you for the little song. Mm-hmm. Hey, cheers with Beer Mug, an all-new edition of Beer Mug interviewing people at his favorite bar. That's coming up just after 7. First, Allie is here with What's Happening and free stuff.
I come bearing gifts. How would you like to see Trevor Noah loud and clear at Staples Center on December 6th?
Yay!
He'll be there. Performing stand-up on December 6th. Tickets are on sale right now at AXS.com, but don't worry about logging on, getting out your credit card. It's a whole ordeal because I'm going to give you, yes, you, caller 20 right now, a pair of tickets to Trevor Noah at Staples Center on December 6th. 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20. Good luck to you.
Anything else?
Anything else? Yes. Bean, you're flying tomorrow, right?
Yes. Heading to New York City.
Heading to New York City. Tomorrow is your last show here on
K-Rock. The city's so
nice,
they named it twice.
Okay.
New York, New York.
And you're heading out there to receive your second Hall of Fame induction award, right?
They will not leave us alone.
They just keep awarding you. Here's my question.
I don't even have time to write that many speeches.
Right, you're very busy.
They come so fast and together, yes.
Here's my question for you. When you fly and you use the restroom, you wash your hands after?
Of course.
Okay. What kind of question is
like in any restroom.
Okay. Well, here's why I ask. A new study has found that water on most major airlines is not safe to drink, let alone wash your hands in.
Excuse me?
Oh, my gosh. The 2019 Airline Water Study from the Hunter College New York City Food Policy Center evaluated 23 airlines by the quality of water provided on board its flights using 10 criteria, including, you know, finding out levels of E. coli
The
water.
Okay, we're talking about the water that comes out of the sink in the airline restroom.
Yes.
Now, I understand if that's not, as they say, potable. In other words, you can't drink that.
Right.
But it certainly should be clean enough to wash your hands.
Well, they gave each one a water health score on a 0 to 5 scale. Do you know what airline you're flying, Bean?
Delta.
Okay, Delta is not on here, so I think you're okay.
Okay.
JetBlue and Spirit Airlines performed the worst, each getting a score of 1. While Allegiant, Alaska, and Hawaiian Airlines performed the best, all scoring above a 3.
What's in the water?
Poo.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a quick answer.
Yeah.
I will continue to wash my hands in the toilet then.
Oh, that's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Authors of the study urged to avoid possible illness by never drinking any water on board that isn't sealed in a bottle and avoid coffee or tea.
Oh,
that
no.
That didn't even occur to me.
No, because they used the water.
Of course.
I always get coffee and or tea.
See?
Always.
They also urge people not to wash their hands in the bathroom. Instead, carry a bottle of hand sanitizer.
Can we pretend this study did not happen and was not reported?
Bean.
Can we just ignore all of this?
I'm saying everybody on a morning flight gets a coffee, gets a tea.
Sure.
And by God, you're washing your hands.
But
for
you
sure.
Can, what they're saying is take in, or other than sanitizer, take a bottle of water in and use that as your hand wash.
You could do that, sure.
Because they don't charge for water. Bottle water, right?
Really?
On the airline? I don't. think so, no.
I don't know. We're not all flying first class, Jensen. No. We're not getting our water brought up to the door. Like, right. Oh, sir, did you want more water? Can I pour it for you?
Is there even room for a bottle of water with all the caviar in front of you, Jensen?
And everyone has those 24-karat fork and knife, right? I mean, they're gold.
I mean,
use that. If not, your hands.
It's just, this whole study is disgusting, and I thought I'd bring it to you right before you fly tomorrow.
That's gross.
Yeah, at least once I get off the plane, at least hotel rooms are spotless.
Yeah,
they're
about
very
that.
Clean. No bacteria.
About
and you can keep
that.
Licking the remote. There's no problem
yeah,
with that.
No. By the way, remember I told my remote hack that I do every time I go?
Yes.
I grab the little ice
the bag
bucket.
That goes in the ice bucket.
Yes,
yeah.
The bag that's in the ice bucket. I take that and then put that over the remote and then pull it back out. So it creates kind of like a little remote condom, mm-hmm. if you will.
Sure.
A lot of people send me pictures from their trip saying, listen, I did your hack.
It's a great tip, except I actually use the ice bucket, so need that liner for the ice.
Oh, you can get another liner. Or you can also bring just a Ziploc baggie of your own.
True.
Stick it in there.
True.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the hack, of course, that everybody tweets about is grabbing the hangers and the ones with the two little clips on it, like for pants.
Yeah.
Use that on the curtains so you never have that little area where you're like, oh, the sun's just peeking in that little 1 inch.
That's
I don't
nice.
Want that.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm just here for your hotel tips.
That's a genius idea.
Thank you.
Good hack.
Thank you so much.
Is there a hack for being able to lower the thermostat below what the hotel wants it to go no lower than?
Never have figured it out.
We are under the assumption it's always 68.
Yes, which is too warm for me.
Never go below that.
Yeah. Too warm for me.
I'd love to get it to 64. 65.
Yeah, they don't want to pay for the air conditioning, for the extra air conditioning. That's why they keep it there. But I wish there were a way to break that open and make it lower.
We've got a lot of hotel thoughts, you guys.
Okay.
By the way, Christmas, of course, right around the corner. Ellen DeGeneres is taking a reoccurring gift-giving segment from her daytime talk show and supersizing it for a series of NBC holiday specials. It's called Ellen's Greatest Night of Giveaways. It's going to air on three consecutive evenings, Tuesday, December 10th through Thursday, December 12th. Her and some celebrity friends are going to be showing up to unsuspecting people in their homes and giving away a ton of stuff. Some of those celebrity friends, Michelle Obama, Jennifer Aniston, Justin Timberlake, Robert Downey Jr., Melissa McCarthy, Michael B. Jordan, Jason Momoa, Sterling K. Brown, Chrissy Teigen. All right.
A lot of people.
I mean, if those people are showing up at my door and giving me crap, I'll open it.
Can't beat it.
I will open the door.
Oh, good to hear, Allie.
Thank you so much.
Anything else?
Nope. Some birthdays for you. Ethan Hawke, Tandy Newton, Maria Shriver, Taryn Manning, Emma Stone, and Sally Field.
LA and OC's Alternative Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Quick reminder, if you want to see Mumford & Sons, 21 Pilots, the 1975, the rockin' tours of Monsters & Men, The Interrupters, Lovely the Band, and Matt Mason. That is a hell of a lineup. Ooh. For night two, December 8th at the Honda Center of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. Tickets go on sale Friday morning at 10 for the public, but you get an advance shot at it if you are a K-Rock Street Team member tomorrow at 10. Get all the details at krock.com. B-Makes this guest coming up. We got your Afro calls tomorrow on the show. My final program with Kevin and Bean. We're welcoming a couple of special guests.
Oh.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Adam Carolla.
Yay.
I think that's fitting.
Both be joining us tomorrow. Yes. Two legendary personalities from throughout our many years here on K-Rock. So very excited. That's going to be a very special show tomorrow morning right here on K-Rock. First, beer mug.
Speaking of your last day, Bean, this Cheers with Beer mug is dedicated to you.
How so?
The question that I asked the people at O'Grady's in Granada Hills, my people, was what the weirdest thing about them was. Now, let me warn you. This was the hardest question for them to answer I've ever experienced on Cheers with Beer Mug.
Which is ironic, because these are the weirdest people I've ever heard.
I know! And maybe they just can't get introspective enough, but they were having trouble.
In other words, they didn't think there was anything weird about them.
Pretty much.
Did you bring up alcoholism at all?
Because I think the fact that they're there every day at 4 p.m. is a very weird thing about them. That's an odd tidbit.
That might come up, because I haven't heard the tape, but we shall find out in this edition of Cheers with Beer Mug.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
asking questions with no shame.
What do you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh!
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
What? Wow.
What is the quirkiest thing about you? Now, Muggs, you know, and I've told you this on and off here, this is my very favorite segment that we do on the show.
Yes.
Is there going to be some Monty action?
Well,
I don't think. He said earlier he hadn't heard the tape, as if he didn't record
as if he wasn't there, yes. Yeah. Will Jim, the split lip guy, be there?
Split lip!
That's Brian. And no, Brian, I can for sure confirm he was not there.
He was not there. No. All right.
He's dead.
All right. Let's hear the interviews on Cheers with Beer Mug.
I was working as a waitress as a cocktail bar.
What is the quirkiest thing about you?
Weird.
I like when people my
Whoa.
But only like.
Yeah.
Wait.
What? What just happened? This is how we start? Where do we go from here?
Guess on both the verb and the noun?
Yeah. Weird.
I like when people my.
Yeah.
But only like in the bedroom. You know what I mean? Like it's not just like, oh, hey, my. It's like.
Okay. Stop right
there. Stop it. Okay.
I need to think about this for a second.
Fill in the blanks.
I didn't know I'd have to do math.
But only in the bed. Only in the. I mean. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Right away. People started answering in very sexual terms. Oh. That's why we had to bleep that.
Okay.
Can you give me...
You don't want to know, Jensen.
Yeah, really? You don't.
I think, unfortunately, it's too painfully clear to me what it is.
Wow.
Let's just say it involves...
Let's not say that. All right, let's move on.
The weirdest thing about me is that I love Bean so much. Yo, Bean, touch my peen is something I say in my head nonstop. Bean... Touch my peen.
I can't put socks on without putting lotion on my feet.
That I like to cuddle.
Oh, that's not very weird. And in fact, I'm enjoying the cuddle moment right now. Brittany, what's the weirdest thing about you?
I like to roar all the time.
Like a tiger or a lion?
It's like in text messages to break the awkwardness, roar. Like right now, roar.
What is the quirkiest thing about you?
I shave my pubes, but I'm covered in hair everywhere else. So I just only shave my pubes.
I'm on a Mexican wall radio.
There's karaoke going on at the same time.
I go on karaoke. I make sure to go on karaoke.
Because it's better for the audio.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Jensen, what about that super hairy dude? Yeah. I ask you for no particular reason other than you happen to be in the room and you're a Wookiee. Yeah. But only shaves his pubes. Interesting choice, right?
I get it.
There's hair everywhere.
I get why you would do that. Some of us are lucky with, I don't have back hair, but yet I have hair everywhere else.
Uh-huh.
So I don't, no one's ever said, why is there no hair on your back? So I say go for it.
Okay, good enough.
The quirkiest is my sex life.
Do you mind getting into detail?
Okay, it might involve some light bulbs.
What?
All right, Mario, what's the weirdest thing about you?
The fact that I have this thing called the 7 stages of laughter that like I cannot stop laughing and it hurts. Like it would hurt my stomach, like it just. I swear.
The weirdest thing about
you legally have to turn him into the police now,
right? That was very Joker-esque.
That person's like an actual psychopath.
That is a guy who's covering something up, man. He is laughing to keep from crying,
and he couldn't stop. He did it for like 3 minutes.
Did I hear some Monty?
I think we heard some Monty.
The weirdest thing about Monty is that I care too much about others, but I don't give a hell about myself. Oh. That's one weird thing.
Oh.
I wanted to let you know that I care about you, Monty. I love you, Monty. Let's make out. We're going to get down to some serious drinking!
You know what I love about Muggs is he's a great drunk.
Mm-hmm.
When Muggs gets, you know how some people kind of get mean.
Yeah.
When they
or get sad, like Monty just.
Yeah.
Got.
Or sad, right? Mm-hmm. Muggs is so loving. He's like everyone else on ecstasy. You know what I mean? He's just touchy and feely and lovey and happy. Drunk Muggs is a good Muggs.
Drunk Muggs is.
I wanted to make out with Monty. I think I said that.
Yeah,
you did.
Jimmy, and bites the Jimmy.
Jimmy,
what's going on, dude?
What's the weirdest thing about you?
Sometimes I. Say things twice, you know, I guess. You know, gotta say things twice, I guess.
Hey, man, I've never heard you say anything twice. Jimmy, I got to be honest.
I just did earlier.
I actually have a tail.
No f***ing way.
It's only a prehensile one.
What does that mean?
I can grab things with it. Oh.
No way, dude. You should be... Are you like in the Guinness Book of like oddities? If that even is a book.
No, just Canoga Park.
So, yeah. No, by the way, ending on someone with a tail,
wow. Right?
So is amazing. You know, that's one of my great regrets in life is that I was not born with a tail. Yeah. I mean, I'm so jealous of Stryker. Have you ever seen him dial a phone with his tail? It's amazing.
You could pick things up with your tail?
That's what that guy said.
That's what the guy said, yeah, which is incredible. Outstanding job, Bugs.
Thank you, guys. I'm gonna miss playing these for you, Bean, but hopefully you'll listen when you're over there.
He's not listening.
Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, I'm not listening now.
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came. Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
I am hearing rumblings of potential new Billie Eilish music as early as this weekend.
Ooh, okay.
Which is very exciting because I love everything that young lady does. How many times did you fail your driver's test? We'll be talking to you coming up just after 8 here on the world famous K-Rock. Right now, it's time for the final edition of Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Oh, man, don't take
it's a tick.
I need somebody to pee on me. Does anybody have to pee?
Just want to tell ya.
All I want to do is zoom, zoom, zoom.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes. I am not a winner.
Yeah, new intro just for today?
Just yeah. For your so last happened? Bean Makes Us Guess.
And it got even meaner?
Why so soon?
This is a great, I think, very appropriate Bean Makes Us Guess for my final one because I was thinking about the many years that Kevin and I have been doing the show. R.I.P. Kevin, by the way.
Yes. Yeah.
That Kevin and I have been doing the show since 1990. And the list that I came up with from our friends at Ranker.com is, again, as I said, appropriate for today. The best alternative music artists of the 1990s. This isn't the most successful who sold the most. This is, in the opinion of the internet and the 31,000 votes that were accrued on this Ranker.com list, the best alternative music artists of the 1990s. So these would have been bands whose songs Kevin and I played thousands and thousands of times in those 10 years and probably every day since then. I'm going to tell you, just as a free tip here,
okay.
As I look over this list, and it goes to 75 on this list, you know what band is not on here? The Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Wow. As I exit off my guesses.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers, who were clearly one of the biggest and best bands of the 1990s. This is not a scientific list. This is just what people on the internet say. But I'm just giving you a heads up so you don't waste a guess on that. The Red Hot Chili Peppers are not on this list, and I don't know why.
Interesting.
But I don't think you'll be surprised by a lot of them in the top 10. They're exactly what you'd expect. All right, Kevin is out today, so why don't we start with Muggs? Let's let Muggs go first.
All right.
What do you think, sir?
All right. I'm going to go ahead and go with the most obvious one and go with Nirvana.
Only number one. Oh! Nirvana, considered the best alternative band or artist of the 1990s. Yeah.
Great job, Muggs.
I mean, the list would be bogus if they weren't,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
All right. Jensen, you're up next.
Okay. Now, I'd love to be Kevin here and just come up with joke answers. And I clearly would start with Bloodhound Gang. But instead, I'm going to go straight with this, and I'm going to say Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam is number three on the list. Well done. Nirvana number one, Pearl Jam number three. Miss Allie McKay, can you get on the board and keep it a tie game?
Depeche Mode.
Of the 90s, no.
See, that was my confusion. Would they consider them the 80s and then... Like, is it when they started?
No, this is just the artist's output for that decade. And by the way, okay, Depeche Mode would be on my list.
Absolutely.
For the 90s. I mean, they had some of their Violator and some of their best stuff.
Hate this list.
No Depeche Mode. Beer Mug, you're up next.
And maybe you're going to be the one that saves me. Oasis.
Not on the top 25.
Oh, shocker.
Stupid internet, right?
Wow.
Not in the top 25. Jensen.
I will go with Green Day.
Green Day is number
wow.
Zero.
Whoa.
Number zero.
Why'd they come up with zero? Why even have
not
that?
On the list.
Oh, got it. Okay, thank
not
you.
Not on the list.
Thank you.
Which, again, makes no sense.
Yeah.
Allie.
Soundgarden.
Soundgarden is number six.
All right.
Good one.
Well done, Soundgarden. Muggs.
All right. The result of Nirvana, Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters, not on the list.
What?
Because did they push more 2000s? Probably,
yes.
My guess. Yeah,
really? I think so, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Alice in Chains.
Alice in Chains is number 8. By the way, is anyone keeping score? I'm not.
Yeah. Jensen has 2. Yeah. Muggs has 2.
All right. And no. Allie's about to have 2.
I won.
He's won. Okay,
how dare you try to cheat in front of us?
My bad.
Okay.
Stone Temple Pilots.
That's a great guess.
Whoa!
Okay, this list blows chunks.
I think I agree, by the way. I think I'm turning on this list.
Yes!
What's up, Ranker.com?
STP should be top 10.
STP should be top 10.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I apologize. I'm sorry. Beer mug.
Did someone say Soundgarden?
Yes. I did.
Okay. Let's go Spin Doctors.
One, two, three, it's
a few. It's going now.
Jensen.
I will go with the Pixies.
The Pixies are number 2.
Okay.
Number 2.
Come on.
According to Ranker.com, 31,000 votes.
Come on.
Very credible.
Allie McKay, and then we'll go around one more time real fast.
The Cure.
The Cure, no. Right. Muggs, your final guess.
All right.
That's
a good way to go out, Bean.
Let's go. Blur.
No.
No.
Jensen, your final guess.
Dinosaur Jr.
No. Dinosaur Jr. is number 17, though. Not a bad guess.
Wow.
I would go incredible with my answers.
Allie.
Would they consider Dave Matthews Band as alternative?
If they did, they didn't put them on the list. All right,
they shouldn't be there.
Here's some of the ones that that may not surprise you. Number 15 was Tool. Number 14 was Cranberries. Number 13, Jane's Addiction.
Mm.
Number 12, Beck. Number 11, Nine Inch Nails.
Okay.
10, Sonic Youth. 9, Weezer. Number 8, Alice in Chains. Number 7, R.E.M.
Oh, my gosh. My bad.
Number 6, Soundgarden. Number 5, a little band called Smashing Pumpkins.
Mm.
Again, we're talking 90s.
Yeah.
No one bigger. Number 4, Radiohead.
Oh, my gosh. We are awful.
I think more 2000s for Radiohead, but sure.
Pearl Jam, Pixies, Nirvana is number 1. Who won the game?
Jensen
I'll
did.
I'll take it.
Wow.
This is the final and perhaps the worst. Bean makes his guess.
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Hey, Bean, this email begins. I'm sure you don't remember me, but way back in 2004, I wrote in to you and Kevin with my story about losing both my parents. My mom passed away when I was 18, and 3 years later, I lost my dad. He left me and my siblings with an unfinished house. I was 21 years old and trying to figure out a way to keep my family together in a house that I could not afford to finish with a wall that was literally exposed to the outside. I was at a complete loss. You and Kevin brought me into the studio to tell my story, and oh my gosh, the love and support from the K-Rock community was so great. In just over a month, I had so many volunteers helping with finishing the house, and then K-Rock brought the Kevin and Bean party machine and broadcast live. You guys were super great, and you really saved me. I honestly don't know what we would have done without your help. For years, I wanted to write in and say thank you to you and Kevin and your producer, Lightning, at the time, but I just didn't know how to do it. With you leaving the show, I figured this was my last chance, so thank you. My family and I wish you all the love on your new adventure, and I will miss listening to you every morning. I've been listening since I was 13. With love, Roxanne.
Aw. Unbelievable.
How sweet is that?
That is.
What a nice lady she was, too, and her whole family was great. And, I mean, we pointed this out so many times on the air through, you know, work with Kevin's charity or other things that we've done. When we ask the Kevin and Bean audience to help, they're always there for us.
Yeah.
And we appreciate you so much.
And
we
now
really
you'll
do.
Be dead. You helped her with her deaths.
I'm not.
And
no,
maybe
no, no.
She'll help us.
No. I'm not dying. I'm fine. I'm just
full circle.
Just move it away, you guys. Just move it away. So thank you for all the. Thank you, Roxanne, for thinking to reach out to us. And thanks to everybody who has been emailing us here on my final week. Speaking of final week,
yep.
I understand, Jensen, that the Afro line has also been busy.
That's right. You know, a lot of people have been emailing in, but also a lot of people call in. As you know, 24 hours a day, we have the Afro line. You can call in and leave a message for anyone on the K-Rock Kevin and Bean crew. It's 323-520-AFRO. We get incredible listeners calling in. Bean, as always, you've been doing this for quite some time, right?
Well, the Afro line goes all the way back to the Jimmy Kimmel days.
That's right. So
yeah, forever.
People have very strong feelings about you leaving, and this is a way that they could put their intense emotions directly into your ear. Some people even are getting creative with their sadness, Halloween style.
Halloween, Halloween, and goodbye, Bean. Oh, how I wish that you could stay, but you decided to go away, so it's R.I.P. Bean Baxter's gonna die.
I'm she's actually really good.
She's a really good singer.
She really nailed the ending.
And yeah, not dying, not retiring, just moving to England, trying to keep the radio career going over there.
We'll Rest see. In peace, Bean. Okay, so earnest reactions are usually new for the show. We don't do it a lot of emotion, but Bean leaving is bringing it out in a lot of people. Prepping for someone that you've heard on the radio for 30 years is hard, so we hear the real side of people.
Hi, everyone. Bean, thank you for being a voice I look forward to every morning to put a smile on my face. I wish only the best things for you. I will miss you. To Kevin and crew, I look forward to seeing how you guys evolve the show, and I hope for its continued success. I love you all. Thank you, and bye.
Oh, it's very sweet. I mean, you're right. We don't do earnest, so I keep expecting her to turn and go, but you're an a-hole.
Or, you know, this is Hulk Hogan, by the way.
Right, something, right.
Bean's legacy to the show. You think back. You would think maybe giving a kidney to a coworker. That was unbelievable. Huge. His advocacy for mental health. It's a big deal. Or raising over $1 million for charity over those years. This caller has a different memory.
Do you remember when Bean got bit by his cat?
My cat. Not even your cat.
No, not even
your cat. That's right.
Here's the clip.
You don't know the you don't know the medical history of that cat?
Small note, he did say my cat.
Which just wandered into his house yesterday and he says it's not his cat.
How bad? Like a real bite?
It's bleeding.
Yeah, he's bit by his cat and started bleeding.
While doing a radio show, by the way.
Just live. And after we had warned him this cat could kill you.
Yes.
Again, someone talks into the like a microphone, 30 years, Bean. Especially these times that you're alone in a room. You don't know the effect you're having on people, right?
Well, of course not, yeah.
Well, let me tell you.
Hi, this is for Bean. And I have been listening to you guys for the last 20-something years, ever since I was in high school. And I just wanted to say to Bean, thank you. Thank you and for all the mornings you have put a smile on my face when I didn't think it was possible, and for teaching me that it's saving, not savings, on daylight saving time. And I'm that guy that now corrects people, but also just for being there and a constant in my life when I didn't think anything else was going right. I knew that you guys were there. So thank you. Words cannot express how much you guys have meant to me. And I'm wishing you and Donna just the very best.
There you
that
go.
Is a
so sweet.
Tremendous compliment.
Some people also have some creative suggestions for whatever your radio show will be next.
Oh. Hey, Bean. It's Phil from Fresno. Just wanted to call and say, you know, congrats on the move overseas, and I hope everything works out in the future for you. And I cannot wait to listen to your new segment on your new show, England, What You Sippin'. It's going to be amazing. England, What You Sippin'!
I'm going to steal that. I'm going to write that down. Take that with me to our next station.
Yeah, don't give him credit. Okay, so it's so early. We joke all the time that we go on live at 6, right? But we actually go on earlier than that. We just like admitting our mistakes then. But people do actually get up with us, and this was actually very touching to me.
Bean, just so you know, me and my wife get up at 5:20 in the morning every day to turn you boys on. And that's what we call you, our boys. We're going to miss you so much. Bless you. You have yourself a wonderful, wonderful life. We love you.
We have a podcast, sir. There's no reason to get up at 5:30 in the morning.
Let him and his wife turn the boys on, please.
Okay, all right.
This caller had just one last thing he wanted to tell his favorite morning DJ.
Hey, guys. Long time fan of the show. And Bean, I've never really had a chance to talk with you one-on-one, dude. And so just before you're gone, I wanted to take just a second to say, look, man, like, seriously, from the bottom of my heart, it's pronounced costume, not costume. There's no freaking H in the word, man. Someone has such a boner for savings, never savings. You think you'd be able to pronounce something as easy as costume. You know what? I'm glad you're dying on Thursday.
Oh, boy.
I'm not dying.
I just wanted to remind you there are actual trolls out there as well as these earnest people.
I like to think that, by the way, that saving that savings is my greatest legacy.
It's possible.
On the program. But I also don't feel I get enough credit for inventing the word presad.
Well,
it's true.
It is. By the way, it's kind of just in the vernacular now.
It
for
is.
The show.
Well, it certainly is with our audience.
That's
yes.
right. Okay, so some people are looking to the bright side about Bean leaving.
Hey, party people. I just wanted to call in and say, you know what, Bean, you're going to be sorely missed when you leave. But I was wondering if you guys can figure out something that I'm not going to miss at all. You know what I mean? Like, do you guys need any hints? Or I mean, do we play 20 questions? I'm just trying to figure out how easy it is to understand what I'm not going to miss about Bean being gone, you know? Let me know you get this.
Look, I man's got to breathe, okay?
Not right into the mic like it's your last breath.
Lastly, this caller's under the impression that we would get to this once you already left, so this genius wrote your eulogy.
Hey, guys, a podcast listener from Texas here. There's a decent amount of time between when an after call is made and when it airs, so it's safe to say that by the time this is played, Bean has succumbed to his illness. As such, I have a eulogy I'd like to read for you now.
Oh.
Gene Bean Baxter, born November 14th, 1959, died November, I don't know, let's say the 4th, 2019. Like Murtaugh from Lethal Weapon, Bean was only 3 days from retirement before tragedy struck. After a two-week battle, Bean was taken by a totally preventable bout with pneumonia. He is survived by his wife Donna, who has been quote-unquote out of town for the past 3 years and is still unaware of his passing. Listeners around the country are devastated by the loss of this Radio Hall of Famer, but there is a silver lining. With his death also comes the death of several other things that are universally agreed we can do without. Half Christmas, dead. Wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald, dead. Fry Yay, dead. Daddy Likey, dead. It is with these small comforts that K-Rock fans of the chocolate milk industry find a small amount of solace in these trying times. Truly, Bean was a legend taken too soon. Approximately 3 days too soon. R.I.P. Bean.
323-520-AFRO. That's our AfroLine 24/7. Mugs, you're a B-team event on the 10th. Are you going to be commemorating at all the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald on the anniversary?
You know what? Normally I'd say F no.
Uh-huh.
But since we're still going to be, you're going to be in memoriam, yes, we'll have to play it. We'll have to get DJ Omar Khan on the ones that Tuesday hit it.
There you go.
I mean, because that's how you get a party going off. Put on a little Gordon Lightfoot, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
7-minute song about a boat singing. Hey, 7:51, Wednesday morning here on the world-famous K-Rock. Allie is here. Time for another look at what's happening on this Wednesday morning.
I mean, what are you going to do to commemorate it? You won't be on the air here, so
well,
how will you do it?
It's a Sunday anyway, okay. So I wouldn't have ordinarily. But Donna and I have a cake every year.
Okay.
And, you know, we listen to the song, and I have a large collection of videos and DVDs that commemorate the wreck.
Right.
And we usually pick out a different one to watch every year.
Do you light candles for the victims or say a prayer for them?
We ring a bell.
Ring a bell.
One for each man on the end of its journey.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
Yeah, it's a big day.
Yeah, it sounds beautiful.
And this is the 44th anniversary of its sinking, so obviously that's a special commemorative event.
Oh, clearly.
44?
44 is the 44, big one, yeah.
Sure. Does it ever get easier?
No. No, that's an all-time pain.
Okay. Anyone in here interested in the Matt Damon, Christian Bale film, Ford versus Ferrari?
Not as interested as I should be because they're both great actors and it is a fascinating story, but I have not I've not fallen in love with the trailer.
Yeah, same.
Do you feel the same way?
Yeah.
Like I should like this more than I do?
Absolutely. It's out November 15th and I just feel like there's not
a lot
of buzz.
No. But I did get like one of those screening passes in the mail for Writers Guild or whatever, so they are going for awards, so they must be confident in some way.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing I'll tell you, is that Christian Bale is always amazing.
Yeah.
I don't care what movie he's in, what character he's playing, you always enjoy watching him act.
And then
he's
Matt Damon, come on.
One of the best. And Matt Damon is also excellent.
Very good.
I don't know how this couldn't be good.
Well, his last role, of course, Christian Bale, was the role of Dick Cheney in 2018's Vice. He had to gain 40-plus pounds for that. Then months later, he had to slim down his champion racer, Ken Miles. And he said it's because there were small spaces in those classic cars. They're not made for comfort. I literally had to lose the weight just to fit in the car. Mm-hmm. But I started going back and looking at the roles. And how is he alive? With his weight fluctuation from American Psycho, where he was just jacked, looked great. Then The Machinist lost 60 pounds
and
for that.
It looked disgustingly unhealthy.
Then Batman Begins, he had to gain 100 pounds for that. Then lost weight for the movie Rescue Dawn. Then lost 30 pounds on top of that for The Fighter. Then back up to the jacked guy for Dark Knight Rises. Then gained 43 pounds for American Hustle. Lost it again for The Big Short. Then gained 40 again for Vice.
Nice. Oh, good for you. And how was it?
This can't be good for your body.
It cannot be good for your body. And dudes and their metabolism. I know it wasn't like it was easy for them in any way, shape, or form, but guys tend to lose weight a little bit easier than women, which is unfortunate for us thick girls. I'm just saying, Christian Bale, please stop doing that.
Because it's just making you feel bad about that last 10 pounds?
It's making me feel bad. Plus, I'm concerned about his health because I love him.
I do remember Jared Leto went from very, very heavy to very skinny in a movie once, and he talks about how it's affected his body forever. He will never
feel
better.
Yeah, he did the John Hinckley role and then had to lose it all,
And he said he gained and lost so fast that it's forever going to damage
him. And aren't there some side effects like gout and things like that that can come as a result of that kind of rapid weight
loss? Absolutely. Yeah, you can get arthritis, you can get diabetes, you can get all sorts of stuff.
Look, Christian Bale, just play guys who are about your size.
Yeah.
Just take those roles.
Just look into it.
That's what it just says on a post-it note the script.
Yeah.
Your size, dude. Right. I'll take it. Excellent.
What don't you understand?
Okay.
Well, I don't think you have to yell at us.
Yes. Keep it down.
So, you all know how excited I've been since I saw the first preview for the Emilia Clarke, Henry Golding, Emma Thompson movie last Christmas.
This is your most anticipated film of the year outside of Star Wars, probably, right?
I mean, it's basically my favorite things. It's Christmas. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's got a ton of Wham songs. Mm-hmm. Emma is a goddess to me, and she co-wrote the movie, Emma Thompson, and Paul Feig directed it. It's like all my favorite things in one.
And Bean's favorite man crush.
Yes, Henry Golding. Mm-hmm. So I got to see it last night. Delightful.
Yes.
And there's a brand new George Michael song, you guys. 3 years after his passing, the universe has been blessed with new George Michael music. And of course, the whole movie is a bunch of different songs from George Michael. It's the soundtrack to the whole movie. And essentially, Emilia Clarke, it's her whole life is George Michael. But
I mean, the movie is called Last Christmas.
Yes.
So they're all in on
yes,
George Michael.
Absolutely. And Emma Thompson got him to give his blessing and told him that it was all inspired by the song, blah, blah, blah. Wonderful. His family has seen the movie. They all loved it. So this new George Michael song that plays during the credits came out today. It is called This Is How We Want You to Get High. It's a departure.
George sang that?
He was going in a different direction before he
passed. Was a real departure from him.
I like that his family liked it, though.
Yeah, family loved it. That that was not George Michael, you guys. No.
Yeah, I actually have the clip.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Shock the body.
Uh-huh.
Shock the body, body. Shock the body. Shock the body, body. Shock the body. Shock the body, body, shock.
That's the
if
Monster
you're looking
Mash
for
dude,
the new George Michael,
please, we are, Bean, say
actually,
it. Yeah,
I have
got
it. Here's, okay, here's the song, uh-huh, world premiere.
I saw the movie last night, and that
doesn't sound familiar.
Sound familiar. No. Muggs, do you have the real song?
Yeah, I had it. Oh, here. Wait, no. Wait. Nope.
This is good.
Is he acting or does he really not have it?
No, I think he's looking for another fake one.
All right, I'll do it while he's waiting.
Okay, go ahead, Jensen.
How many shrimps do you have to eat before you make your skin turn pink? Eat too much and you'll get sick. Shrimps are pretty rich.
Drop.
The sad thing is I'm really excited about hearing the new George Michael. And I really want to hear it.
Yeah, I finally pulled it up.
Go ahead.
I finally have it.
Okay. All right. I'll always take this one. Here we go. Sing it if you know it.
My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber.
My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber.
My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber.
My cousin Tim
there's no way. There's no way Muggs is going to stop before this.
We're running. Running at it.
Mercury.
Okay. At it.
You
time.
All right.
And I really need to get to This Is How We Want You to Get High.
Okay, here it is.
I guess we always blue.
than it would be. Stormy weather.
Is this how we want you to get high? The way that we show ya, way that we told ya was decent. Is this how we want you to get high? Is this how we want you to get by?
I don't want to complain, but it doesn't sound anything like George Michael.
Nothing like George Michael. Yeah. And when you watch the movie, it's a, you're like, wait, what? Just what's this in the credit? Huh? But
I would never have guessed that was George Michael.
No, I will say this about Last Christmas: delightful, had some really funny parts, some really touching parts, and a twist that I was like, wait, huh? It's not a Christmas movie that you're like, oh, we got it. It's a Christmas movie. Oh,
when does it open?
Friday.
Fantastic.
Ooh. Yeah, it is just lovely. You're going to enjoy it. Even though the shrimp song isn't in there, and now I wish it was.
Dang it.
And there is a guy named Tim who doesn't have a butthole.
What?
And he can't eat fiber. Yeah, it's you have to look for him in the movie. But
that's quite a backstory for an extra.
Literally backstory.
Little Easter egg?
Yeah.
Little Easter egg. So just look for my cousin Tim
in
the movie. Some birthdays for you: Ethan Hawke, Sally Field, Tandy Newton, Maria Shriver, Taryn Manning, and Emma Stone.
Thank you so much for listening to the second to the last Kevin and Bean show. The show continues, but without me, Bean, after tomorrow. And we appreciate you so much listening and all the response that we've been getting. Got time for another email real quick?
Oh, yeah.
This one's from Emma. I am using Bean's departure as the impetus for writing this sappy email to you all. I've been listening to the show since I was in middle school. Or younger, I know. What kind of parents did I have? I moved to Seattle in 2010, and I still listen to the podcast almost every day now in my late 20s. So you do the math on how many animal stories I've had to suffer through in my lifetime. The show has been a fixture in my life for most of my life, as sad as that might sound. I'm just here to say that your show has been more than a laugh for me during many times in my life. To give one example, I have a lot of anxiety during the takeoff portion of flights, and nothing can calm me down except for your show. What used to have me crying during takeoff has turned into the passenger next to me wondering if they can get off the plane because the crazy lady next to them is laughing maniacally as the wheels are leaving the ground. Much more seriously, though, during some of the roughest patches with anxiety and depression, listening to your show has provided me with the only laugh for the entire week. Are you amazed how often we have heard that from our listeners this week?
It's crazy.
That people are calmed down by the constant of having the Kevin and Bean show in their life when they're going through tough times.
Yeah.
We're still on, you know, making yuck yucks.
For radio, so many, it's the only constant. If you're having family issues, you're having relationship troubles, it's the only thing in your life that remains consistent and constant.
And I don't think I realize, I mean, I think I may have known that generally, but it's really been brought into sharp focus for me with all of the emails that have been pouring in for the last couple of weeks. So as Bean goes off to live with his 93-year-old girlfriend, Elizabeth, I wanted him to part with the knowledge that he has made a huge impact on some people's lives, as I'm sure there are many more stories similar to mine. He will be very much missed. I'll tell him, by the way, if I see him. But most likely, I'll probably just forget about him, like I said.
Yes.
Cheerio, or whatever the F it is they say in England, Emma. Thank you, Emma.
Very nice.
Thank you, Emma, very much for that. Speaking of tributes, Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla join us in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. A couple of alumni from the program. Looking forward to that. And I understand we have someone special on the phone with us right now here on KROQ. Hello, mystery caller.
Hey, Jensen. Hey, Allie. Hey, you know who it is?
It's Mole.
Okay. Hey, dudes, listen, I saw the whole R.I.P. Bean thing. And listen, I know you guys blame yourself for him being dead, but it's not totally your fault.
Oh, well, Mole, he's not...
It's not totally your fault.
Mole, he's not dead. He's right here.
No. I don't want to know how he died. I'll just imagine how he died.
Mole,
okay?
I
wrote down a few words. Hold on.
I'm here.
Let's hear his words.
Dearly beloved, when Bean flew off that faulty roller coaster at that Tijuana carnival, it was tragic and hilarious. Mostly hilarious. Did I nail it?
Yeah, you're good. Very close.
Wait. I got another guess. Okay, one. Dearly beloved, Bean knew that racing at Santa Anita was dangerous and risky, but he ran anyway. And then they had to put him down and make him into horse burgers. Amen.
Again, very close.
What if God was one of us? I'm
not a horse burger, Mole. I'm right here. I'm fine. I'm actually okay. I'm just leaving the show.
Bean's ghost. because I told you he was on us forever. Yeah. Go into the light, dude. Go into the light.
I'm not dead, Mole. I'm fine. I'm perfectly healthy.
You're not dead?
No, I'm just R.I.P. Bean is just a joke that some people are making. I'm not dying. I'm just leaving the show. That's all.
So wait, so going to the England thing is a real thing?
Yes, I'm actually moving to. Yeah, it's not a euphemism for death.
Hard
oh, my God. What's the matter? You can't find a good spot in Dick stateside? hey, if that's it, I totally get it. But my UPS guy will show you his if you want. He's always on.
I'm not interested in his spotted. No, I'm not. Thank you, though, Mole. I appreciate
okay,
that.
Okay, Bean, well, listen. I have some retirement advice for you, okay?
I'm before not retired, you but sure, off, listen to what you have to say. Sure.
Some retirement advice. Because I know because I retired halfway through high school, okay?
Okay, that's good.
Avoid stress. And pants and parole officers. One.
Okay.
Also, fill your head with positive thoughts and lots of pills and weed and homemade Pruno. That's a liquor you make in prison, but it's not just for prison. That's the mistake a lot of people make.
Okay, so Pruno is for everyone. Got
Very
it.
Good.
And also, when you head to England, cruise on over to Quincy's for the best dang Devonshire clanger in town. I'll tell you, you can't beat it.
You had a lot of information at your fingertips there.
Yeah. Hey, Bean, most of you know what? Just keep being Bean. You're a heck of a good Bean, dude.
Thank you, Mole. I appreciate it. I thank
Honey
you.
Honey Nut Cheerio, dude. Honey Nut Cheerio.
It's just Cheerio, yeah. I'm sorry for the misunderstanding, but thank you, Mole. We appreciate you checking in.
Ladies.
Say jewelry.
Jewelry.
No,
jewelry.
Not jewelry. No, jewelry.
Jewelry.
No, not jewelry.
Jewelry. It's,
hold on.
Two syllables,
Bean,
not
Bean's,
three.
Bean's not helping me. Go.
Okay.
Allie.
Jewelry.
Jewelry.
No, no. Yours is three syllables.
Taco jewelry. Bell. Jewelry. I have to be very honest with the R. Okay.
All right.
Jewelry.
Now, what's the thing that when you light a fire, it goes up and smoke comes out the top?
Chimney.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, I said chimney.
The other morning you said chimney, chimney. And I was floored.
Because I could see myself saying it, in a, like the chimney, guys. Like, I could see it saying fast.
No, you were literally like, and then the chimney.
All right. Who's the man or woman that you hire to buy or sell a house?
Realtor.
Yes.
My mom is a realtor.
Is she a realtor, though?
No.
Yeah,
but
a lot of people say
for many
realtor.
People, she's a real yeah. realtor. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Well, all of this is very... realistic.
Okay, I know that's my word. I get it. Hey, Allie did a story, Kevin Beach Show, K-Rock again. Allie did a story yesterday, or excuse me. Yeah. Kevin did a story yesterday on People Are Dumb about a guy who stole a car to then go and take his driving test. Mm-hmm. Did he also fail his driving test?
He failed that one for the 10th time.
For the 10th time.
Yes. Yeah.
And that got us to thinking about your driving test. And I think what we're looking for here are stories of not just that you failed your test, but you failed it in a spectacular fashion. We are looking for people who had panic attacks. We're looking for people who stepped on the gas instead of the brake. Mm-hmm. We're looking for people, especially if you got into an accident.
So we don't want the written test aspect.
No.
We want the actual driving.
We're looking for the driving test.
Also, I'd like if there's someone out there who got pulled over during their test, that would be good to hear.
Because that would be really easy. I mean, you're panicked.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know that your instructor is looking and making notes on every little thing you do, and you're freaking out, and a lot of times you're 16, and you have a lot to keep straight at one time. I can see you just boofing it and blowing through a stop sign or something just because you're worried. You know, you're just not concentrating enough. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things can go wrong with the driving test. For instance, we got an email from Crystal, and we're going to take your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. Crystal writes in, I suffer from anxiety stemming from an accident I was in when I was 9 years old, and I decided to conquer it by learning how to drive. Unfortunately, it took me 9 tries.
Oh.
9 tries. I finally got my license in July. Oh, and I'm 29, mm-hmm. about to be 30. Mm. But congratulations, Crystal. I don't ever want to be on the road with you.
No, I don't want to be anywhere near her.
If somebody takes 9 times to pass their driving test, I feel like they shouldn't be able to drive.
Yeah, I'm fine with them taking Uber. I do have a friend, will not out him, but in his 40s, who lived most of his life in New York City and then failed 2 times his test, his driver's test, because of anxiety. And then on the third one, passed it. But when they pulled in, the guy said, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to recommend you for your license because it's just too much for you.
Oh, wow.
Like, even though he didn't get the points taken off and all those things, he said, mm-hmm. I don't feel comfortable giving you your license. That's rough.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the instructor's doing the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I think they're the last line of defense before some brand new driver is unleashed onto the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need more bad drivers.
No.
Right? 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Dave, the King of Mexico, are you the champion on our show for people who had trouble passing their test?
Well, the Kev dog's not here today, so I don't know about him. But let's just say that I had to pay again twice to take my driving test. So you get three chances when you initially pay, and then I had to pay again, and I passed on my fourth attempt.
So you failed three times.
Three times.
Oh. That's
like, what did you do?
So the first time, you know, the first three times I took them in the Montebello DMV, which they're very tough because they take it very serious.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Sure. Montebello, everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah. So they had the parallel
it's
parking.
It's on them. They got a really,
for sure.
Tiny strike zone in Montebello.
So the, test one, they had the parallel parking cones. I might have smidged the cone a little bit.
Okay.
And the guy failed me. I was like, what a dick, right? So the second time, I drove too slow on the freeway.
Oof.
Failed me.
Okay.
So the third time, I'm driving at a normal speed, but traffic was going really fast, and the guy's like, speed up. So I sped up and went, I think, like 80.
Whoa.
Failed
no.
me.
80.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was going the flow of traffic, which is the law, right? Yeah. So I said, you know, F this. I'm going to go to BG, Bell Gardens, where, you know, they're way doper.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows
boom.
Bell Gardens much more
Bell lax. Gardens DMV. Shout out. What's up?
And then it started pouring, and Dave didn't turn on his windshield wipers.
Right. Oh, hey, I gave me a high five for that. Yeah. He's like, you get it, bro. He gave me the nod.
By the way, what is the real law on flow of traffic?
Flow
because
of traffic within...
Because if you're... No. But if everyone's going 80 and you go 80, I don't think
no,
they let you go.
They can pull you over for whatever.
Yes, anyone just, over for
what we're saying
80.
Is there's a, I guess, like a common understanding that you can go flow of traffic, but they can pull you over for anything over the speed limit.
Yeah, right. It's usually five mile per hour buffer.
Yeah.
But,
and I also don't ever recommend going 80 while you're taking your driver's
no,
test.
No, no, no.
Don't do that. No, you'll fail. Yeah.
Do you think that there are... I mean, I guess you wouldn't know the answer to this, but is your sense that most of the driving instructors are looking to pass you or looking to fail you? Or do you think they are objective and fair for the most part?
I think they're objective and fair. I don't think they want to see you come back.
No. I don't get the feeling that DMV want more customers.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Fair enough.
My driving test, first time, passed it, but pulling back into the DMV after the driving part, I did not yield to a pedestrian, and I was 1 point away from failing. It marked it down enough for not yielding to that pedestrian crossing the driveway.
Yeah.
That's a big mistake.
Yeah.
That's also a big mistake driving. All right. Let's take Ariel Fountain Valley to get us going here on line one, 1-800-520-1067. Lola, you hang on. We will get to you as well. Ariel, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Good morning, Bean. Going to miss you.
Thank you so much, my dear.
Yeah, so back when I was 16 taking my driving test, I was turning right and there was a child in the pedestrian walkway. I was super nervous, so I thought I would speed up and try to go before he came, and I almost hit him.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Didn't though.
I mean,
okay, good.
Good. A detail worth noting. Hey, Ariel, did you end up passing it? I mean, do they still let you drive?
Oh, God, no. No.
Okay.
Didn't pass it that time. Took it a second time. Actually, also failed that time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah,
I love this story.
Well, you get an automatic fail if you don't look over your right shoulder when you're turning. So
right. BS.
Automatic fail then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, total BS.
You weren't in Montebello, were you? Because I hear that they're dicks.
They are hard in Montebello.
If you're still trying, get over to Bell Gardens. It's so much easier.
Yeah, BG. So the third time you were able to pass.
Yeah, third time's a charm.
I mean, I think your instinct to speed up when you see a kid at a crosswalk is not a good one.
I agree.
But I think they made the right choice. We thank you for listening, Ariel. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Tell us about failing your driving test. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Oh, we got some great calls on hold. Lola, you hang on. Diamond as well. Real quick, ahead of Muse, though, let's talk to Alex Westwood, line 2, 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about failing your driving test. Alex, what happened, my friend?
Morning, party people. So this was in Van Nuys. I was 17. The first thing that I did wrong is we came to a red light. She said, okay, I'm going to need you to make a left here. And I forgot, is it a right on red or a left on red?
Wow. Such a distinct difference, Alex.
It's an easy mistake to make.
Sure.
Right, left, you know. So I'm starting to edge
closer towards the busy Sturman Way intersection. And finally, she turns to me when she realizes what I'm about to do. Like, what the hell are you trying to do?
Is that an automatic fail?
Yeah, but beyond that, even I then nearly ran over a pedestrian.
Oh.
I tried to beat the guy who was coming in opposition in a very narrow alley.
Great.
I tried to, we both got stuck in this like 6 minute trying to like back up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so finally at the end, she just like sighed and say, not everybody can pass on their first.
Sure.
Alex, you driving right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
yes,
cool.
If anybody's on the road, you guys better be careful.
Yeah, we're gonna let you. We're gonna let you get back to that, Alex.
Focus on the road, Alex.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. By the way, I'm going to have to take a driving test
in a
few weeks here.
And on the other side of the road.
Probably going through about 30 roundabouts in a row, too, by the way.
Hey,
so
it's Big Ben.
Wish me luck. We'll take some more calls after Muse here on the world-famous K-Rock. Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins. I flunked my driving test the first time I took it. I thought I nailed it, but the instructor cut it short. When we got back, he told me I failed. I was shocked, and I asked why. He said, because you seem not to know there are speed limits. I asked, at what point was I speeding? And he yelled, the entire time. You were never close to not speeding. As a father, I hope you never get your license.
Oh, wow.
Says Jack. I hope Jack got a different driving instructor, didn't go to Montebello, was able to
Bell
pass.
Gardens.
Good to BG.
Yeah, got to go to Bell Gardens, right. Mm-hmm. All right, let's say hi to Lola. She has been patiently waiting on hold in Laguna Beach. Lola, you were 16. You took your driving test. What went wrong?
Hi, yes. I live in Los Angeles now, but it was Laguna Beach. I'm going to miss you more than you know.
Thank you.
I was super pumped, 16. I got up early. I had all my makeup on. I was taking all my – I've always been weird about vitamins, taking vitamins. And my mom came up to me in the kitchen and was like, here you go. This will help. I didn't think anything of it. And then we're at the DMV. I take the driver's test, and I started to feel just a little weird, and I didn't know what it was. And before you know it, I made a left-hand turn in front of an ambulance. And so the instructor guy told me to pull over, and he took over the vehicle, and we drove back to the DMV. And I got in the car, and my mom asked me what happened, and I told her, and she said, well, maybe I should have only given you half the Valium.
Oh, she gave you Valium.
Yep.
Lola.
Yep, I had no idea. I never even heard of it. I went back to school all embarrassed, having to tell my friends, and I told them that my mom gave me a volume, and they were like, a volume?
Well, you're definitely not on one today. I can tell that.
Yeah. She's on a completely different drug now, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what you're on now, but did you pass the second time, Lola?
I did pass the second time, yes.
Good for you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. We appreciate you so much. Let's go to Diamond.
Honestly, can we hang out with your mom?
Seriously, yeah. Your mom is the coolest.
Does she deliver?
Diamond is on line four. She's in La Puente. Diamond, thank you for holding on. Good morning.
Hey, guys. R.I.P. Bean.
Yes.
Thank you.
So when I took my driver's test, the instructor I got was actually racist. He saw my mom's car. That's the car I drove in, and it was a Mercedes, brand new. And he looked at me and he goes, whose car is this? I said, it's my mom's. He says, give me your paperwork and everything to the car. So I got in the glove box, got the registration and everything. He compared my last name to my mom's, and he goes, huh, a Mexican legitimately driving a Mercedes and owning it. You don't see that every day.
Oh my God.
So because of that, it made me nervous, and he was nitpicking every little thing that I was doing, and he failed me. But I got my revenge because the next week I was nervous that I was going to get him again, and I got a woman. But she noticed I was nervous. She goes, what's wrong? You don't have to be so nervous. I told her everything. She goes, can you point him out to me, please? So I pointed him out to her. She goes, thank you for telling me everything. Thank you for being honest and showing him to me. I am the manager of this DMV. He will be fired today.
How about that? Diamond's revenge, right? Yeah, don't cross a Mexican, they'll get you fired, is what I learned.
But also that car was stolen, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Diamond, glad you called. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jim, line five. He, you guys, is a driving instructor.
Yes. Awesome. Hopefully not Montebello.
Jim, what's up, guys. Man?
Hey, good morning, guys. No, I work for a driving school in Southgate.
Okay.
So, you know, every day I take people to a driving exam and either see people fail the exam for stupid things or have had students fail for stupid things. Like, speaking about racist things, I had a lady in Inglewood fail the exam for not knowing English.
Ooh.
She understood it, but didn't speak it. And the lady just kept saying, don't you know Donald Trump's a president now? Don't you know you got to know English?
My God.
And they failed her for that.
Who are these driving instructors?
No kidding. I hope that one got fired, too. That's awful.
Well, she didn't tell me until we got home, and at that point, I couldn't get involved, you know? So I just told her to call and complain, but I'm not sure that happened.
Right. Yes.
Speaking of Bell Gardens, you guys think Bell Gardens is easy. Well, at one point, this is before I started working there, so there's a legend about our office. We had a lady who wasn't ready for the exam, but we still took her anyways. She got so nervous, she accelerated, and so did the examiner, because, you know, we have pedals on our side.
Yeah.
They both accelerated and ran straight into the pole inside the parking lot.
This is what I was waiting for. We hadn't had an accident yet in a driving test. That's what I wanted. Mm-hmm. All right, Jim, keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Crystal real quick in Century City. I know we're almost out of time, but she's on line six, and she has a suggestion for me to take the UK driving test. You have attempted to drive in Britain?
Well, I lived in Northern Ireland for 10 years. So
okay.
I took the driving test here, passed, moved to Northern Ireland, and took the driving test there, failed the first time.
What was the problem? What didn't you know?
Okay, well, I had a driving instructor, which I highly recommend because it teaches you to go through the motorway and through all the roundabouts. But they have maneuvers that are different than here. So parallel parking is the least of the worries, even though they, like, hit each other's cars because there's no buffer space. But you have to back around a live street corner, and then you have to back into a parking lot, like a parking bay.
Hmm.
And that's where I failed. So, like, I got into the car. He's like, all right, your first maneuver is to back into a parking bay. I said, okay. So I backed in, and of course, I'm like, backing up is harder than it looks because you have to look the opposite way. So I was kind of like 30 years of driving over here and then trying to drive over there. I was like, I'm not really sure. So I backed in. My wheels were slightly on the line, and he's like, okay, continue with the rest of the test. So I went through the rest of the test, and he's like, all right, well, I would have passed you, but you actually failed at that maneuver.
Very chill. Very chill.
And I was like, so you let me go through the whole test and barely tell me now?
I'm not worried, Crystal, because I'm a man driver,
right.
So I think I'm going to be fine.
Much easier.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just
gross.
Naturally better at it.
Yeah.
So you eventually passed, though. You were eventually able to drive. You're okay?
Yeah, I took it the second time, and I passed. I had an older driver, and I sort of just, like, chatted with him the whole time.
Oh,
but,
no.
Yeah,
I'm nervous for that guy now.
Yeah. I'm also planning on showing a little cleavage, too. That's my other approach, if I need to.
Follow exactly.
Oh, so that's the other thing, too, other tip that the driver gave me, the driving instructor gave me, was girls should wear long, dangly earrings, because that way, when you turn your head, they know that you're looking, and men should wear ball caps. Because that's how they can tell that you're actually making those 6-point check turns.
Okay.
Like when
I got it. I got the cap and I got the earrings. I'm all in business. Yeah. Thank you. Dear Kevin and Bean, I hope you get to read this at some point before your Bean K-Rock email is disabled. Before I migrated to the U.S. back in 2003, I had little or no English, and I found your morning show as one of the reasons to learn the language and learn it fast. I was a curious 13-year-old. I wanted to know what you guys are talking about. I clearly remember buying an AM/FM radio at the dollar store, tuning it to K-Rock the next morning at 5:25 and waiting with a dictionary next to me, and off I went. 16 years later, I started my own humble little podcast and even ventured into YouTube because of you and the show. Side note, when I was deployed in Afghanistan, it was hard to get the internet, so my family would mail me USBs with nothing but Kevin and Bean shows on them for that week.
Oh, wow.
How adorable is that?
I can't believe you didn't want to walk into friendly fire with that.
Thank you so much, Bean. Wishing you nothing but the best. That is Gabriel. I appreciate the email so much, and thank you for your service, sir. Allie is here. Time for another look at what's happening here on a Wednesday morning.
Any of you noticed the little Twitter glitch that was happening earlier in the week?
It didn't happen to me, but I heard from several people on my timeline that it was just going spastic on them.
People were freaking out because they would be scrolling their timeline, then they would stop to look at something, and then as soon as they'd go to scroll again, it would bring them right up to the beginning.
Yeah, I didn't have
so
that.
So they would lose their place.
You had it, right? I mean,
I didn't, but I saw a lot of people tweeting about it, and I was like, calm your teas. Mm. Just scroll. You're going to be fine. But apparently it was really annoying people. Huh. Well, they announced yesterday that they have fixed an iOS app bug that was randomly auto-scrolling users' Twitter feeds. The Twitter support account tweeted, a fix for the auto-scrolling bug is rolling out now. Thanks for your patience while we worked on this.
Stop reporting me, bro.
So, I mean, I guess you just have to complain about it and then things get fixed. That's why there are no Nazis on Twitter anymore.
They were on top of it. They got rid of it immediately.
No death threats. No anything. Everything's fine. Twitter fixed it.
I am nothing without my following.
I think I learned by turning someone in for calling me a stupid Jew. Mm-hmm. I do think they don't think done in that way Jew is like derogatory.
Right.
So they're like, no, you're a Jew. That makes sense. That's like, yeah. I was like, yeah, but the stupid part and then Jew together
but
seems.
You are pretty stupid.
Well, yeah, I know. So. I was fighting against the truth.
I mean, yeah. Truth is the best defense.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, there are some things that you can report people for, and they write back and say they have not violated Twitter terms. And sure. You're like, really? Saying that they want to hang me from a tree is not violating the terms?
They meant it in a loving way, Allie.
Yes, in a sweet way.
The tree was beautiful.
They love
beautiful
pinatas.
Apple tree, yeah.
I have contacted Twitter on numerous occasions asking why their stock can't get above $30 a share.
Right.
That's what I've tried to figure out for a guy who paid $45.
Mm-hmm. Good Lord. Guys, we discussed earlier on Monday who was buying Olivia Newton-John's famed black satin outfit from the movie Grease. It's at the end where she's, you know, bad Sandy, wicked Sandy. Ooh, look at her in tight clothes. She was such goody-goody. Now she's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I hope the person who bought it was running a cloning center. I'll tell you that.
Well, you did say that whoever bought the pants, you would like to make soup out of those pants.
I didn't know I said that out loud.
You
Sorry.
Did. You said it out loud. Not only on Monday, but again this morning.
I would like to see it.
Well, anonymous buyer of those pants dropped $162,000. And turns out it was Spanx founder Sarah Blakely. And if you don't know Spanx, have you met any women? It's the things that you wear under dresses, under whatever, that makes you look a little bit...
slimmer?
Smoother, if Ooh. You will.
It's the modern-day corset.
Ish.
Sort of.
Ish. Yeah.
Yeah, it's women committing fraud on everyone around them.
Wow. Wow. Excellent. Well, she said that I was actually here in New York for my anniversary with my husband. We went out to dinner. I had a friend bidding for me, so she was on the speakerphone while we were there. And I said, honey, I won the pants. And he was like, let's be clear, you didn't win, you paid the most. Which I kind of laughed at because... It wasn't like something you won. You literally paid the most. You were
the
highest
bidder. Yeah.
That's true. But she said that she's going to frame them and hang them at the Spanx offices because they have a black faux leather leggings line that became a cult following that was inspired off of these same pants. So,
question?
Yeah.
As of June, what is Sarah Blakely's net worth?
Oh, gosh. It's got to be in the billions. I would say $4.5 billion.
Whoa, no, she's not that rich.
Really?
1.1.
1.1 billion. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, so not that rich.
Well, I'm just saying, 4.5 would put her in like, you know.
She's barely getting by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's scrounging is what I'm saying.
Wow.
Picking up change.
That is crazy.
Also, she's never tried coffee.
And that is from making leggings.
Found that from a Google search.
Not leggings.
Leggings.
But they
like,
do have leggings.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the undergarments mostly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know a lot about her. She used to sell things door to door. That's how she came up
with
Spanx.
Yeah,
just want to let you know.
Apparently, she's on Shark Tank too. Sometimes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
Gotta check that out.
All right, sir. So Warner Brothers is negotiating with Colin Farrell to play the Penguin in the highly anticipated Matt Reeves directed The Batman.
Nobody even got naked. Was that even a real movie?
If the deal closes, Farrell will round out the trio of classic villains who are going to go against Caped Crusader, played by Robert Pattinson. We've got Paul Dano as the Riddler, Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman, Jeffrey Wright has signed on as Commissioner Gordon, and then there was talk yesterday that Andy Serkis is currently in talks to portray Bruce Wayne's beloved butler, Alfred, in the movie.
This is coming along, man.
It is quite the cast, and it's looking real good, you guys. Looking real good. I'm into it. And Variety did a recovery issue, and it's really something to read if you want to find out about people that have struggled in the past and how they have gotten past it and what they're doing with their lives, how it's a struggle every day, but they know that it's a journey that they're just going to have to keep fighting. And Danny Trejo is one of the people. He discusses how he has been successful with staying clean for over 50 years, you guys. Danny Trejo went from being a 24-year-old heroin addict to a sober, prolific actor, and he talks all about how his continued success with sobriety has to do with basically helping other people. That's how he stays sober. He knows how important it is to help others. But they have Jamie Lee Curtis in this issue. Andy Lassner, who's the executive producer of Ellen, talks about his struggles. It is really something to read and just really, really gut-wrenching and a beautiful thing to read.
It's all mostly just monkeys and weed, psychedelics, DMT, monkeys and mushrooms.
There are no monkeys involved in Variety's recovery issue, but I mean, if you need that, you can find it somewhere.
Does anybody have any drugs? I'm looking to score some drugs.
Okay, no, that's not the point of the recovery
issue.
The other
side of things.
Yeah.
We got to get Danny Trejo back in with some tacos.
Yes.
And donuts.
He's the best.
He's the best ever.
Machete.
Some birthdays for you. Emma Stone, Taryn Manning, Maria Shriver. I call her Marie. We're close like that. Tandy Newton, Ethan Hawke, and Sally Field.
We heard from Darth Kimchi on the Kevin Bean Twitter account.
I'm going to miss this Hall of Fame career, Bean.
who writes in honor of Bean leaving this week, I started playing some old Kevin and Bean episodes to reminisce. Remember when Bean won an auction for $7,000 to meet Scarlett Johansson and didn't go?
Yeah.
It's very painful that you would bring that up. ScarJo and I dated very briefly.
You didn't even meet her.
Well, we had a date, and I decided it was too painful. I didn't want to put her. I was fine with it. Yeah. I didn't want to put her through it because it was still awkward. We had just
too
broken
fresh.
Up.
Yeah,
too fresh. I mean, why embarrass her on her big night? You know what I mean? When she's got a smile for the camera. So I decided the right thing to do would be stay away. But I did because I'm a good guy. I did still pay the $7,000. So thank you for bringing that up, Darth.
Because it was legally binding.
Allie is here. I don't know what you're talking about with our final look at what's happening here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean show.
I know Bean thinks the same as me. Yeah, he died 7 decades ago in 1955. But don't you want to see James Dean back on that big screen in a new role?
They waited a long time to unearth his new movie that has never been seen before, I guess.
He's been cast in a posthumous role as the secondary lead in the upcoming Vietnam-era action drama Finding Jack. The actor's likeness will be digitally recreated for the role of Rogan with the help of a Canadian visual effects company. No one wants this.
No.
No one wants this.
Well, let me ask. Does no one want this?
Is this done in the same way as the Carrie Fisher thing?
I bet,
so from footage they have, and then they're going to basically Bernie Lomax move him
but
around.
But even the Carrie Fisher stuff was not.
It was stuff she shot, right?
Well, no, that stuff, yeah, for the new movie coming out is stuff that they shot. But you're talking about when they had the weird, like, back in time face?
Yeah.
No, that was creepy, and it looked awful.
It's always creepy. I didn't see Gemini Man for that reason. I was like, oh.
Okay, Gemini Man's a good example. The Irishman is another good example where they have digitally de-aged the leads, right? De Niro and Pacino. Is that much different than this?
I remember on The Sopranos, do you remember the mom died and then they used kind of like a digital version of her for a final scene?
Yeah, and because she died before she finished her plotline.
And it looked bad. It looked like a hologram.
All right. If the technology were good enough that it did not take you out of the movie,
I think
would
it always
okay
will, dude. It's James Dean, a new movie.
Any way.
No.
I think the only people that would care about this are dead. I don't mean to be rude, but they're either too old to go see a movie or they're dead.
You're saying there's no draw for a James Dean.
No.
It's just stunt casting just to get this movie talked about.
Yeah.
Do we know who the other people in the movie are?
Nah. Didn't even continue reading.
It's like Roger Rabbit, man. It's people got to act with cartoons, basically.
Yeah.
Not like a real actor.
It's weird.
I don't know. I get your sentiment, Allie, but I do feel like if they can get the technology better, it would be cool to be able to see a young Marlon Brando in a movie with current
day
actors.
So do actors no longer exist, like people that are alive? So we need to do this. Like, it's the same thing with cloning dogs.
Bean wants so many white males in movies. He wants to bring them back from the dead.
Exactly. There are a billion dogs to adopt.
Yep.
But we're going to clone a fake dog for you.
I'm not into that. I'm not into that.
Well, it's the same thing.
No, because this isn't creating a human. This is just putting a human in a movie. That's all.
This is taking away a role from an actual living, breathing
human. From a minority, Bean. He's adding in dead white men because he needs more white dudes in Hollywood.
So should we not make
any animated movies? Instead, we should cast real actors in those as well.
First of all, you're not allowed to speak about animated movies, having never seen one. Okay.
And they don't have to digitize a dead person's voice in it, dude. Right, like, they still use real actors.
It was
in
a good example, though.
I'm going to put you down as a yes for the James Dean movie.
Yeah, I'm definitely into it. Yeah, sounds like you're into it. Okay. Absolutely. Guys, do you remember way back in May that wonderful special live in front of a studio audience? It was Jimmy Kimmel. He teamed up with legendary Norman Lear.
Yeah. It was great. It great was evening of television.
Wonderful.
It'll they be did... a good transition for tomorrow. Jimmy will be here.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, they did All in the Family and the Jeffersons. Star-studded cast. It was a blast to watch. And, I mean, it was live, you guys. Mm-hmm. Anything could have happened. I think Jamie Foxx was really the only one that broke a couple times. And it was just delightful to see. Well, they have teamed up again for another live in front of a studio audience special on ABC. It's going to be on Wednesday, December 18th, with classic episodes again of All in the Family and Good Times.
Very fun.
Dynamite.
Have they announced any casting
yet? They have not yet, but I feel like maybe we can press Jimmy on it tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Is there a new cast for All in the Family, or do they bring...
They
you don't
haven't
know?
Mentioned, so... I don't know. I'm excited.
We'll ask.
Absolutely.
Does the great J.J. Walker get to play a different role in Good Times now? As an older actor, I wonder?
No, they're going to digitize him.
Okay.
Even though he's alive?
I thought he was alive.
He
okay.
is alive.
Okay.
He is dead to me, dated Ann Coulter.
Is that true?
Yeah, it is true. That is a weird couple.
That is a weird couple.
I like it.
Okay. That's big news about that.
It
that
is special. Big news. Speaking of big news, I did the story earlier and Bean tried to cancel his flight tomorrow for the Hall of Fame. But a new study has found that the water on most airlines is not safe to drink, let alone wash your hands in. Drink it. The 2019 Airline Water Study from the Hunter College New York City Food Policy Center evaluated 23 airlines by the quality of water provided on board using 10 criteria, including levels of bacteria and E. coli.
Yuck.
They gave each of them a water health score on a 0 to 5 scale. JetBlue, Spirit Airlines performed the worst. They got a score of 1. While Allegiant, Alaska, and Hawaiian Airlines performed the best, all scoring above 3. Here's the thing. We were like, okay, well, then just drink water that comes from, you know, the bottled water. That's fine. And then maybe if you don't wash your hands, have antibacterial soap or hand sanitizer. But they also said, no, you've also got to avoid coffee and tea on planes.
Yeah.
Didn't even occur to me. That obviously they're using water from the plane.
Can I bring up another possibility?
Yeah.
Do they make the ice on the plane?
Oh, God, Jensen.
I guess they would.
I'm screaming.
But the coffee and the tea, is there any chance that water is hot enough
like
to
boiled it
boil out?
Out
any kind of imperfections,
any
maybe?
Any poo in it?
Oh, don't say that. Don't make me think that it's poop water. Come on.
Please drink responsibly.
Don't. No.
I'm just saying, none of this is good.
Yuck.
But you're flying tomorrow. Just hydrate before you get on the plane. But, again, don't wash your hands after you eventually pee.
But bring one of the water bottles into the bathroom and use it as the water. I like that.
True. That's an idea. Mm-hmm. But then you're wasting all those bottles of water. And
better than poo on your hands.
Recycling.
I would rather
issue.
That this study had not been done.
Okay.
Wouldn't all you right. rather be ignorant in this case?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very much so.
I thought it was bad enough, but then when they're like, also avoid drinking any water like coffee or tea.
And Jensen's right about the ice, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So even if you avoid the coffee and tea and get a soda or something, you still got ice. So you're drinking poop.
When they warm up the food, like they have to probably steam stuff, are they using
a steamer on board?
Like a water? Like those things, it's always steamy.
I don't think they steam the food, no.
I'm not going to drink my own urine.
I like a plane with steamed rice.
Okay.
Yeah. I like to make my own sushi.
Excuse
actually.
Me, you guys, when you're steaming the rice, are you using your own water? Don't ask that, Bean, when you go.
Very odd.
Fair enough.
Very odd, you guys. Oh, goodness gracious. This is a WWE situation. Did you hear about this, Bean? Their crown jewel event last week in Saudi Arabia?
I heard the event was fine, but they had some trouble getting out of the country?
The event wasn't all that fine.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. What happened during the broadcast? They, like, pulled the broadcast for a minute, right?
It started an hour late in Saudi Arabia, yeah.
Yeah. So started an hour late, which was a problem.
Actually, technically, the event started on time. Mm-hmm. The television feed was an hour late.
They broadcast it.
They started it an hour late in Saudi Arabia, which is weird.
Which is weird, but then there were rumors that it's because Saudi Arabia owed $390 million for two shows in Saudi Arabia last year. And then what happened was they got on the planes to leave, and all of a sudden they were just on the tarmac for about 6 hours.
Oh, no.
Some of them felt like they were being held hostage on that plane. Not a good situation. They felt like it was all about the financial dispute with the wrestling company and them. Not good. They were on the plane for quite some time. It was a 14-hour flight home that was delayed by that many hours. And some of the wrestlers started talking about it. WWE star Carl Anderson created a lot of speculation after he posted on Twitter, couldn't pay me enough to go back. Well, that's not true. I do need a second pool. So, and then his wife wrote, don't ever go back again. We don't need our daddy, poppy, mother lover, best tag team, etc. being held hostage while we're at home worried to death. On top of that, very big names like Roman Reigns and Kofi Kingston told the company they're not going to be returning to Saudi Arabia. The talent felt like they were held hostage. WWE's official statement blamed the flight delay on a mechanical problem. And then further insult to injury. Yesterday, it was announced that WWE and Saudi Arabia had extended their deal together through 2027.
Whoa. But kind of. That's also questionable because they came to an agreement that there are two events per year through 2027. There's been two events per year every year that they've done it, so.
It sounds like the wrestlers don't want to go back, though. That's
That
the company would sign them up for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And also, it was the first time women ever were allowed to, like, partake in, like, an athletic event there. Mm-hmm. And this obviously taints that. And it definitely feels like a step back. And the stock got killed yesterday.
It's just a bad situation. But you know what? Life goes on.
It does. And there.
Not for Bean. He's rest in peace, by the
way. I'm okay, guys. I'm
life
right here.
Support tomorrow.
I'm alive.
Birthdays.
Gotta pull the
for
plug
you.
Tomorrow, man.
Emma Stone, Taryn Manning, Maria Shriver, Tandy Newton, Ethan Hawke, and Sally Field. And that's what's happening.
These SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. Tomorrow is the final And Bean show. Kevin continues with y'all into 2020, but tomorrow I'm hanging it up, you guys, here at K-Rock. We've got a very special program planned for you, including apparently an all-bean edition of Would You Like to Take That Back? I don't even know how you guys are even manufacturing tape at this point. Things I clearly...
You're manufacturing it, bud.
We're bringing also in James Dean. He's the hologram.
Top 10 moments with Bean on the program tomorrow.
Can't wait.
I don't know how you narrow it down. former alumni of the Kevin and Bean Show, Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla, both joining us in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow. That will be very special and a lot of fun. RJ Bell will preview NFL Week 10 coming up. Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program tomorrow. We'll include some of your phone calls as well. And should we not mention the other special guests that we're talking to? Save it? We'll save it.
Yeah.
And more surprises for you tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for reaching out in all the various ways that you have on the Kevin Bean Twitter and Instagram and everything and the emails. I love you guys, and we'll wrap this thing up tomorrow.